Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he's here and he is cold because it is a cold day in western Pennsylvania and snow is on the way. But before we get to Doug Oster, DougOster.com and the Organic Gardener, let's tell you right now, if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you're going to win yourself a gift certificate. That's right. A gift certificate that is worth $25. So don't delay. Don't wait. Get in on it right now. That's the 10th caller, 412-922-1020. Here he is, the man, the myth, the legend from the frozen tundra, Nanook the North. It's cold, Doug Oster.
Good morning. Yes, it is really cold. This is a start of a real winter, something we haven't seen in a long time. Yeah, it's brutal, and I don't know what I'm going to do with the snow. I'm leaving for Baltimore on Tuesday, so I've got to have this snow cleared. And do you know when we're supposed to get hit? What time?
Tonight through tomorrow.
Okay.
So you should be good.
All right. Yeah.
This is nothing compared to how you grew up.
You too. Same thing with you. This is nothing. Yes, I know. But we get used to these easy winters, and then we start complaining about these winters.
Well, let me, because I've been around you guys long enough. Jessica was with us for many, many years, so I learned a little through the journey. I actually think a little snow could actually do everybody some good.
It is good, especially for somebody like me who planted so late. I planted a perennial in the ground probably 2 weeks ago when it was 60 degrees and gave it like about a week to get established. But yes, this snow cover is great as an insulator. You know, I planted bulbs that were late. So yes, I'm glad to have some snow cover. I'm just not glad to have to clear that driveway, that long driveway with a switchback in it and icy, and I'm the only one in the house now driving four-wheel drive, so it's got to be perfect. So yes, the snow cover is great. I'm hoping today, Rob, that we can talk to some gardeners. I would really like to talk about how your season was, what you're growing, what you're thinking about growing this year, because I've got lots of ideas of things that I want to talk about, things that I've already ordered. Or who inspired you to garden? Why do you garden? I stumbled onto this package that I hadn't seen in a long time, and it was filled with letters from people, gardeners, when I worked back at the Post-Gazette from the early 2000s that I forgot I had. It was all filled with seeds and pictures and stories. And so I wrote down a couple of them here. You know, just a letter with black tomatoes from Prague. Ugly, but very good. German heirloom given to the gardener's dad over 50 years ago. Polish tomatoes, dad's tomato, Hungarian pink, pink giant, African big red, all with these letters and photos. So I decided what I'm going to do is the home show this year, Rob, I'm going to put all these seeds together into little packets and just give them away. They can't just be sitting unused. All these Pittsburgh heirlooms can't be sitting there unused. When I'm gone, what's going to happen to them?
So how long can they, what's the shelf life?
Well, that's the question. We don't know. If you like, I keep them dry. It could be 30 years. It could be 10 years. It could be a year. And so the thing to do is test the seeds. And so just, you take the seeds, you put them in a wet paper towel into a Ziploc bag and see what sprouts. You know, you just take a few of them.
Okay.
And as long as they sprout, well, we're good to go. And I want all these Pittsburgh heirlooms to get out there. I do have something on the website right now called the Pittsburgh Preservation Project where I'm giving away lots of seeds. The Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top I've been giving away since 2000. The 3945 was the seed that was found on the battlefield of World War II by a Pittsburgher. He grew it for 70 years here. And then a new one called Dr. Jim Snow, which was given to me by a friend, Kim Snow Gibson, who we worked together at Recipe for Hope. And she gave me a big tomato. And she goes, you got to try this. and then told me this whole wonderful story about Dr. Snow being a dentist in Newcastle and how this tomato won a contest. These seeds are all for free. You just send a self-addressed stamped envelope. All the information's at DougOster.com. And it's part of trying to preserve the stories and these tomatoes from Pittsburgh. I'm going to do the same thing with all these ones I'm going to give away at the home show. I'll have lots of other stuff to give away at the home show, but I want these seeds to get out there. And I also found something I forgot all about. It was a little, remember how film used to come in those little plastic things?
Yeah.
I had it marked Compost Surprise, 1991. And so Compost Surprise was a tomato seed that came up in the compost pile at my first garden.
Wow.
I grew it. It was phenomenal. It was like a what we call saladette size, bigger than a cherry, smaller than a slicer. And it had a real zing to it, really high acidic rate. Well, I saved the seeds, and the next year it didn't come true. It was something different. And this happens because probably what was popping up in that compost pile was something that was a hybrid, which doesn't come true. But I just thought maybe I'll give that one another try too, just because it has such great memories. I'm always talking about Compost Surprise and how gardeners are always, you know, calling me or sending me an email saying, hey, this squash came up out of my compost pile. What is it? Like, we don't know what it is. See what happens when it gets ripe.
Well, it's how trees actually end up in parts of your yard. You don't realize how they got there, but those things kind of do travel, do they not?
Yeah, you know, we had somebody on the show a couple weeks ago from Tree Pittsburgh and talking all about seeds and trees from seeds. The other thing I found were some pea seeds, dried out pea seeds. And so what I'm going to use those for, there's something I love to do during the winter, and it's called microgreens. And so you take something like a radish or a bean or a pea or a basil, sunflowers. There's lots of different things you can do this with. And you're just putting it into some kind of pot with moist soil in it, covering it with plastic, and sprouting them, and you eat the sprouts. It's not like bean sprouts that you put in water. That kind of seed has to be like specially food grade. When you do it in soil, this is just use your regular seeds. And so I usually do radishes, but I found these pea seeds, so I actually soaked them overnight, and they look good. They're like three times the size of what they were before. And I got the soil ready, and so when I go home today, I'm going to put those into a little thing on the windowsill. I do have a little heat mat that I will put those on top of just to give them a little bit of extra heat, because my old windows, I looked over there the other day, it got to be 10 degrees colder over by these old windows. I need new windows, Rob.
I can make that work. I can make that work. Metropolitan Windows would love to hear Doug Oster say, I got my windows from Metropolitan Windows.
I'm going to have to bite the bullet maybe this year. I don't know. There's always something.
I'll get you windows if you plant a few tomatoes in my yard.
That's a deal. I'll get you the best tomato garden you've ever had.
All right, you're going to be proud of me when you show up. We've got that new fence up now. Things are looking good.
That's exciting. I couldn't believe when I saw your place how nice the plantings and everything were, and the beautiful fence, and it's a really cool place.
I love it. All right, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to step out for a break, but we want to think warm, okay? We're actually bundled up here in the studio, and if you go to KDKRadio.com. We're streaming all of our weekend shows now. Simply click on KDK Watch. So if you, too, want to think warm and you're thinking ahead as far as your gardening, any question you have right now, because Mr. Oster wants to keep moving, so he wants a lot of calls, so all of our lines are open. This is your chance to plug in, talk about what you're looking at in that seed catalog, some of the plans that you're thinking of doing with your garden, your living outdoor space this coming season, which will be here before you know it. Call early and often. The number to dial is 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. And you know, this is also a great time where a lot of these wonderful sponsors like Sorgles and others are open year-round. You can get some great deals, so make sure you continue to get out and shop them. Right, Doug?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Any place that's open during the winter, check them out. Get houseplants is a nice way to get through the winter. Paper whites, they'll have all sorts of cool stuff for you.
All right, number to dial is 866-391-1020. So why are you going to Baltimore again?
It's a trade show called the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show. I go every year. I'm a little worried about the snow. They're supposed to get even more.
They're saying 2 to 5 for us.
Yeah, but they're saying like 10 there. So I'm worried about making the trip there. I want to be there on Tuesday night. There's actually a good friend of mine that we actually traveled to Iceland together. He's a famous plant breeder, and Tuesday night we have an event, and so I'm trying to get there on Tuesday, and all the new stuff that's coming out, all the new plants, new products, and I'll be doing all sorts of stories and interviews there. I love going there. I love Baltimore, so it's a cool place.
All right, yeah, except for their football team, who we're probably going
to tell me about it. That used to be the Browns.
Yes, it was. Mr. Modell said, let's go to Baltimore. All right, we'll take a short break. We'll come back. Let's go, phones. We want to hear from you. 866-391-1020. Mr. Oster wants to answer all of your gardening questions on this frigid day in western Pennsylvania. 866-391-1020 is the number to dial. All right, don't forget Rob Taylor back with the latest news coming up at 7:30. And by the way, the interview that I have with the mayor of Glassport, Keith DeMarco, talking about U.S. Steel, it is now up on my Facebook page if you want to check it out. And real quick, Doug, you, of course, for the Youngstown Vindicator, I was thinking about you the last couple of days. You were there when the demise of the steel industry hit Youngstown, and the last thing we need is a icon like U.S. Steel to leave.
I was there right after the demise of the steel industry, and I had a friend that I worked with that worked at the mill, something with train cars. He was always moving train cars around, but he became a news photographer, and it was ironic because we always said about Youngstown that it was destroyed by what builds most, steel.
That's exactly right. So, listen, you got to learn from history or you're doomed to repeat it. But you can check that interview out right now on my Facebook page. All right, 866-391-1020. Your calls, gardening, let's go, coming up next. All right, Doug's ready to go to work. He's buckled up, and here we go. Tom in O'Hara, welcome to KDK and the Organic Gardener. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Great show. I, just like you, Doug, I've been getting my library of seed catalogs in the mail. And after looking through some of them, I don't know if you saw this. The Burpee catalog has this type of seed where you actually sow it directly into the ground for tomatoes and peppers.
So really? That's before. Interesting. And so is it like is it a quick producing variety? Is that the idea? It must be.
Well, that's 70 days, it says.
So, right, right.
I thought this was kind of, they're kind of expensive, but
that's the thing though. When I last time I looked at that catalog, man, it was pricey. It was like $6.95 a packet. And you know, I just posted something on my website, a site that I use called JL Hudson Seedsman, but it's a really weird catalog. There's not many pictures, and you've got to just read the stuff, but it's like the seeds are $2.50, $3. So
I'm glad you brought that up. That's my favorite catalog, and I heard it from you, and that's the only seed catalog that I order from.
I just sent my order in yesterday, and again, this, you can find all your normal stuff, but the thing about the Burpee catalog is it's easy. You can look through it. You know, there's nothing wrong with the Burpee catalog. I mean, I ordered their for years, but it has a beautiful pictures, beautiful explanations. But I guess when you go deeper, and like you and I both are on the same page with this JL Hudson Seedsman, and again, the link's at DougOster.com if you want to look at it. The website is like 1990s. and you know, you have to go back and forth, and you're making it to order. There's no order form when you do it online. You've got to write it out. You know, it's a pain, but it's worth it. And Tom, let me just tell you one of the things that I'm growing from there, and it's a type of campanula, which is most people know as bellflower. But it's called Rapunzel Rampion. And so I've grown it once before, and I want to do a better job at it this year. It's got sky blue, little bells in the summer. But the thing about it is it makes these roots that are edible, and the leaves and flowers are also edible. And so in the catalog it says, this is the famous plant featured in a fairy tale Rapunzel involving the theft of Rapunzels from a witch's garden. This variety, they were used to be cultivated with these large roots, but the varieties with large roots are extinct. And what they're hoping it's the Seedsman catalog, JL Hudson, is that he says an interesting project would be reselection. So if I do get any that have big roots, I can make them, you know, turn them back to them, and hopefully they can sell them. But it's like weird stuff like that. Yes, there's normal tomatoes in there. There's normal everything. But I love growing that kind of weird stuff. Did you look through the catalog yet this year?
Yeah, in fact, I already ordered. I ordered this type of pepper called fish pepper. It's the same, like you said, it's a little story behind it. It's a heirloom tomato they used to...
pepper, right?
Around in Chesapeake Bay so that they would, you know, could put it in their soups and things. And I had some success with it last year, but my son lives in Philly, and he had a really good harvest with it. But
is it a hot pepper or a sweet pepper?
Yeah, it's a hot pepper. It's like a medium hot.
Okay, and pretty prolific?
Yeah, it's very prolific.
Yeah, and it is fun to look through the stories and stuff. Now, are you going to try those burpee seeds?
I don't think so. you know, I'm traditionalist. I start them inside, even though, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. But
starting from seed though indoors, I couldn't have a season without that. I mean, I've got to get my tomatoes and peppers going inside. That's just the way I do it. Not everybody has to do it that way. You can get, you know, I also buy them at the nursery actually.
Yeah, me too.
You know, last year I spoke at Bedner's and it was April and they had, you know, nice sized tomatoes, and I can just stick them in my greenhouse and, you know, they're huge by the time they go out into the garden.
I like to start a lot and then I give them away so it's kind of fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Well, hey, I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling this morning, and I'm glad that he hooked up with that catalog that I love.
866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Here's Tom in the North Hills. Hey, Tom.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Last August, somebody gave me a pawpaw fruit, and I took the seeds out, and I planted them in various places, pots, out in the garden. And then about September, when we had our first frost advisory kind of thing, I brought one of the pots in, and it had sage in it. And then about a month or so ago, I looked real close, and there's these things growing that are about now 8 inches. They look like trees. And I know that with pawpaws, they have to go through the cold period. But do you think that odds are that they are pawpaws, that they would grow?
It certainly could be, and it certainly sounds like it. Now, that cold treatment, that's called stratification,
right?
That is what you're supposed to do. And sometimes it's 2 years it takes, but it also could sprout on its own without the cold treatment. I would just look at those leaves. That will tell you that whether it's a pawpaw or not. And you're going to want to... you want to get that in the ground first thing in the spring because they hate to be moved.
Right.
And so what do you think? What do you think? Do you think the leaf shape is pawpaw?
Well, we checked on the internet. My wife doesn't think so. But, you know, there's different varieties of pawpaws, and not everything's exactly the same. Then the other thing is this. Let's say May or June, I can't remember. You know, they have those Bing cherries on sale all the time around that time of the year.
Yeah.
And I took a bunch of seeds out of my Bing cherries just so I could eat them. And I can't remember for sure if I did this, but I could have planted those in the pot. I just can't remember if I did or not, but I can see myself.
The indication is going to be the shape of the tree.
Yeah.
You know, the pawpaw is more like a kind of candelabra-like tree.
Yeah.
So actually, in this case, you'll probably just... There's nothing wrong with leaving it in the pot.
Right.
And seeing how it progresses.
Right.
But also take a picture of that leaf and then put that leaf picture into Google Images.
Yeah.
And that will help you decide what it is.
But do you think Bing cherries would grow from what you buy in the store?
Well, they'll grow, but you're not going to be guaranteed that it's going to be the same thing. I'm assuming those cherries are hybrid, so it would probably revert to a parent, which it could be something cool. But you're not going to know exactly until a few years down the road.
All right. Thanks for the call, Tom. We've got some lines available. Keep them coming. It's all about whatever is on your mind. Think warm. Think gardening. Call Doug right now, 866-391-1020. We are focusing on warm weather. The birds coming back, even though a few have already unpacked their bags. So get that bird feeder filled up so they can eat during these winter months. But We want to think warm. So anything on your mind in the way of gardening today, it's wide open, phone calls, whatever's on your mind, Doug wants to hear from you. So we got lines available. Don't miss out. 866-391-1020. Here's Dolly. I guess I should say, hello, Dolly. How are you?
Oh, man. Hello.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Last couple years, I seem to have tomato blight.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you suggest I use to get rid of it?
So here's what I do. First off, I'm looking at lots of different types of tomatoes to plant. How many plants do you put in a year?
Usually no more than a dozen.
Okay, so try and mix it up a little bit because each one deals with the disease differently. There are disease-resistant varieties out there. There's one that just came out last year, and I've got some information at DougOster.com, but you're going to have to search for it. It's not on the front page. But it's from West Virginia University, and it's called Mannin's Majesty. And so Dr. Mannin was a plant breeder for ever. He's 102 years old now. That was his last introduction, he says. And that one is supposed to be disease-resistant. There's another one called Defiant. But here's the other things. If you're going to plant your normal tomatoes, the ones that you love, a couple tricks are warm up the soil first. Put some black landscape fabric on there. Get that soil warmed up. Also, the day that you plant, mulch right away, and then also take off the bottom leaves. What's happening here, this is how it works, is that the spores, the fungal spores, are always in the soil. And when we get that cold, wet rain, it splashes them up onto the bottom of the plant. When that plant stays wet for 24 hours, then the spores work their way into the plant system. We don't see anything. It doesn't show anything different. But we get to the humid weather, then the disease starts to manifest itself, working its way from the bottom. And usually the blights we're talking about here are called early blight and septoria leaf spot. And so those things right there, by mulching, we're slowing down those spores. By removing the bottom leaves, there's more distance between the spores and the leaves, disease-resistant varieties. And then the other trick, the trick that's working the best for me, is leaving some room and putting some tomatoes that produce pretty quickly in later in the season. And so last year, Dolly, I had a competition where we planted tomatoes on July 31st of a variety called Sun Gold. And all the people in the competition got tomatoes by the end of the year, and they had no blight at all because the soil's really warmed up. The air temperatures are really warmed up. The tomato wants an Italian summer, not a Pittsburgh spring. So if you could leave like a spot for three tomato plants and put them in later, something that like an Early Girl, Sun Gold, a cherry tomato, those tomatoes will rarely have any kind of blight issues at all because they're planted later. And I learned this. Sun Gold is my wife's favorite tomato. And one year I was going to be picking, it's a really early variety, 47 days from transplant, I was going to be picking on June 15th. Which is really early to be picking tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And we had a bad storm, and a black cherry tree crushed my Sun Golds. And I'd always been taught you got to plant your tomatoes by like May 15, May 20th to get them by the end of the year. But that's for a big beefsteak or something. These other tomatoes that produce quicker. And so anyway, in the greenhouse, I had three Sun Golds in 6-inch pots. It looked awful. I'd never planted that late. But I planted them on June 15th, and at the end of the season, most of my May 20th planting had succumbed to blight. And that early blight in septoria leaf spot, it doesn't usually kill the plant. It just slows it down, loses its foliage. It looks ugly. But this June 15th planting had the same weather from June 15 on to the end of the season, but it didn't have that cold period out in the garden. It was in the nice, cushy, warm greenhouse. Those June 15th planting, they look great. And so that's how I learned to do this. So just leave a little room and plant a little later and use those other tricks. I've got information at DougOster.com about how to do this. If you're listening and you're like, wait a minute, what did he say? You just go to the website, and that is actually on the front page. Does that help, Dolly? Okay.
Absolutely, it does. Now, what do you use for mulch?
I like straw in the vegetable garden, and the mulch that you use is just what you like the way it looks. You could use anything you want to do. Now, when you're mulching anything, you don't want the mulch to touch the bottom of the plant. You want it to look kind of like a donut, not a volcano. But in my vegetable garden, I'm using all straw. And so I've got a big fig tree that's buried under like 15 bags of compost and then an entire bale of straw on top of it. I'll start bringing that straw off as we get warmed up into April, and I'll be using that in the garden and then into May to mulch everything. I like to mulch just to preserve the moisture from the spring, and then also it helps fight those fungal diseases. Do you have any kind of special tomatoes that you like to grow more than anything else?
I've been growing San Marzano.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. Figure out on the like the tag or what it might be, how long from the transplant until you can get the tomatoes, and see if you can figure out, count backwards from when we'd get our last frost. Would be, you know, you just theoretically say October 5th or something like that, and see if you could put a couple San Marzanos in a little later. And I think you'll find that it works. Now, there's also an organic fungicide, and it's called Revitalize, and it's from a company called Bonide. Any of our sponsors and the nurseries that are part of the show will have that. And so that's another thing you could do. And the trick on dealing with the fungal disease by using a fungicide is that we have to treat that plant before we see signs of damage. When you have something like in your situation where you know the tomato is going to get blight, if we have a cold, wet spring, I don't care what you do, you're probably going to get blight. And that's when we use the Revitalize. We want an organic fungicide, so it's nothing nasty. Those organic fungicides are what we call biological controls. They attack the fungus itself and stop it from reproducing. And so if May was, you know, below 50 degrees at night and rainy, we would use the Revitalize also, and we could use that safely and know that, you know, it's on a food crop and it won't hurt the good bugs. It won't hurt all the things in the soil that are helping us garden. So that's the last trick to do this. And I know that sounds like a lot to do, but you know how much we love our tomatoes, right, Dolly?
Nothing's better than a homegrown.
That's right. And, you know, Mrs. Know-It-All grows a different type of San Marzano. There are different types of San Marzano. And the one that she loves, and I hope I have this right, I think it's called Ridorto. And so every year she loves that one, and she cans a lot. And then I'm growing one called San Marzano Lungo 2, and that was sent to me by a listener, and he got it in Italy. And it's a little bit bigger than the standard San Marzano, so for processing for sauce, you don't have to use quite as many tomatoes. But there's a million different tomatoes out there. Try a few of those quick varieties, too. And then look up that Manin's Majesty, because they give away free seeds. West Virginia University gives away free seeds. And, Dolly, if you want to try that one out, go to the website. I have some seeds, too. And just you can send a message through there, and I'll fix you up if you can grow from seed.
Okay.
All right.
I'll try it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call, Dolly. That was good.
All right, here we go. We got some lines available. If you want to hear a question answered in real time on a very cold Sunday morning, give us a call, 866-391-1020. This is the time of year to really start planning, though, right?
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing. And so I was so exciting that somebody else, Tom, knew about this J.L. Hudson Seedsman catalog, because some of the other things that I got out of there, I'm just... This is the time where you get so excited about planting seeds. And so I've got a narrow leaf milkweed, which has light pink to white flowers, and milkweed's pretty easy to sprout. You got to give it some cold treatment usually, but this is a smaller one, only 3 feet tall, and it's said to withstand drought. And we want to grow milkweed just to help the monarch butterflies. I every season... We learn whether the monarchs are doing good or doing worse, but it also helps all sorts of other pollinators. One of the things I'm always recommending gardeners do, because, you know, one of the reasons to be organic is help pollinators. and growing milkweed. That's the only plant that monarchs will use as its host plant. They'll lay their eggs, the caterpillars hatch, they'll eat some of the milkweed, and then they'll spin a chrysalis and we'll have a butterfly again. Another thing I got from that catalog was a giant moonflower. This is the moonflower that grows 10 to 15 feet tall in a vine, and it opens late in the day with big, beautiful white flowers that are fragrant all night long. And it's part of kind of a white garden, night garden theme. And one other thing that fits that theme before we get to break, it's a flowering tobacco. I love growing flowering tobaccos. The genus is Nicotiana for flowering tobacco and tobacco. And this one's called Nicotiana sylvestris. And it's pretty common variety. And I know my friend Jessica grows it. It self-sows. And so it'll grow, seriously, 6-8 feet tall. It's filled with these white, fragrant flowers and more fragrant later in the day. Indestructible plant. And then it puts on all these seeds. And it will just re-sow itself over and over again. And so that's just such a cool plant to get in the ground. And very, very small seeds, like almost dust-like, and you got to do like what's called a surface sow. And so when you're used to your normal seed starting, where you're covering it with a little bit of moist mix, in this case you don't. You put them on the surface, you press them down under the surface of the moist mix, then you cover it with the clear plastic, and it needs light to sprout.
All right, we're going to take that break now. Come back on the other side. We've got Diane, who wants to talk about his favorite topic, garlic. That's moments away, KK.
Yahoo!
Before we go to Diane in Valencia, let's go to that town right across the street from Valencia, London. Go ahead.
Just a quick note. There's a discount on this trip I'm taking in May to the Chelsea Flower Show and touring the gardens of London until January 15th. If you were thinking about going, now you can book it all the way up until May. But the discount is over January 15th. We're going to see the Chelsea Flower Show is just, it's incredible. All the sights of London, like St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Abbey, all that stuff. And then gardens, Sissinghurst Castle, Wisley, Seville Garden, Kew Gardens. It's just amazing. If you're thinking about doing it, January 15th gets you the discount. All right, let's talk to Diane.
Hey, Diane, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year, everybody. Hey, Doug, I'm calling to find out. So my husband is a budding gardener, not for lack of bad terms, but so he planted some garlic this year in a raised bed that he constructed. And I have a great friend who's a gardener. She had always said to me, anything that's a bulb really needs to be in the ground to be protected. And with these plummeting temperatures coming up, I know we were all hoping for a mild winter, but I don't think that's going to be in the midst. Should we add some extra mulch? Should we maybe add a tarp around the entity? What would you recommend?
Probably, if you were worried about it, probably mulch. Was there mulch on it already when he planted?
Yeah, he used some leaves and a little bit of a straw mixture mulch.
Okay, that sounds pretty good to me. Now, all I've got on top of mine, and I'm in a raised bed also, and that's the way I love to grow garlic. And garlic's tough. As long as there's a little bit of mulch on there, I wouldn't be concerned. Did that sprout for you early or not?
Well, so we did some last year that did sprout well. He has a friend out of state who seems to be a garlic enthusiast, and she sent us three different types.
Nice.
So we have, some different varieties that are going to be hopefully popping up this year, and we take the scapes and I'll put them in olive oil, and that way when I go to use olive oil, I have it already infused for cooking and baking and making, you know, different breads. And
you do got to watch that. You got to watch those things in olive oil at room temperature. Be sure to look that up.
Okay.
I know that we normally don't want the garlic cloves to be in olive oil at room temperature. So look that up. Be sure you've got that right. You might want to mix that up for a short period of time. Like our friend Steve Rapaski, who does garlic honey, does it in just little batches. And so be careful with that. You know, the other thing I'm using for scapes, as I make pesto out of them, and I use the scapes as the green. It's just scapes, you know, no recipes. Scapes, good olive oil. I use hazelnuts. You could use pine nuts if you like. And then a hard cheese, and it's just phenomenal. I really wouldn't worry. I think you're going to be okay. The garlic is used to being in cold weather like this, and you're going to be better off in a raised bed, I think. Just you'll get bigger bulbs, and yeah, get those scapes off there. The one of the greatest things about growing garlic also is the very first sprouts in the spring. You'll get these sprouts in the spring in March, and right in the center of where the leaves are opening up, there's a little bud, and you can just pinch that bud and eat it raw. Now, the other thing is, you and your husband both have to eat the garlic, so you cancel each other out, okay? otherwise, like, my wife's always just like, oh, you know, poor Rob. Every time I come in the studio, I eat a lot of raw garlic, and I love garlic, and we eat garlic and everything. And they have to fumigate the studio before they can let Frank in here.
Yeah, but you haven't had a cold since I've known you.
No, I had one this year. I had a winter cold this year, so it's not true. But I actually use garlic to help me get over it. I love garlic, and I'm excited for you, Diane, and your husband to be growing it. And don't sweat it. I think you'll be fine. And give us a call back in the spring. I want to hear how things work out because there's nothing like – it's just like anything else out of the garden. That garlic that's out of the garden is just amazing. It's like a tomato out of the garden. Now, remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
Have you ever met a person who eats garlic that doesn't sweat? You know, you got to sweat when you eat garlic. All right, thanks, Doug. Good job. Stay with us. Going to tell us all about Baltimore next week as well, too. Looking forward to that. Coming up, Rob's got the news. Then we're talking chicken on the Coons Cooking Hour.